Today in the Faith Forum, Tina Maynor told such moving stories about taking a group of high school students from North Minneapolis to France and what they learned in that whole process of preparing for the trip and fundraising and working as a team to go there. I know that France is on many of our minds and hearts and in our prayers as the election is taking place today. And so, keeping with the France theme, I wanted to tell you a story. When I was in my junior year of college, I spent the spring semester in Nantes, France, living with a family and going to school there. And it was just an amazing experience. Nantes is on the west coast of France on the Loire River. It's about 2.5 hours by train from Paris. And I just the living with a family as Tina's students did and learning more about the history and culture of France and working on my French skills was so helpful. But what I enjoyed the most was the chance to travel. Over spring break, I rented a Renault 5 with three other college students, and this will date me a little bit, but Phil Collins had just come to Nantes to do a big concert, his Hot Tub Club tour. And so we had all been to the concert, and we hooked up this Renault 5 with speakers and basically drove around the periphery of France listening to Phil Collins, thinking, wow, he's just such a great musician. But we went about everywhere, and we had this amazing experience, four very different people, three women, one man, of just living together intensively in community for a couple of weeks and just sharing amazing experiences of visiting castles and museums and everyday picnicking together, going to the local boulangerie and charcuterie and getting meats and baguettes and picnicking and every evening processing our day's adventures. It was an amazing time of sharing our lives together for that brief window of time. My French family had strongly recommended that we go to a place called Vézelay. Has anybody here been there? It's a famous Christian pilgrimage site, and it's actually, Vézelay is the beginning of one of four routes for pilgrims from France to Santiago de Compostela in Spain. There was a Benedictine and Cluniac Abbey there, and what was the Abbey Church later became the Basilica of Mary of Magdala. And the Basilica of Mary of Magdala is the repository for all kinds of relics pertaining to Mary of Magdala. They even have her molar, and I saw it. It's a good thing there were no selfies in the day. Me and Mary of Magdala's molar here in Vézelay. But I remember after getting through a big crowd of sheep, and finally making it to our youth hostel about an hour later after the shepherd moved his sheep. We had dinner, and we went out, and all of a sudden we heard something, and it was the monks singing Vespers. And so it was this warm summer, spring evening, and the sun was setting, and we laid in the cool grass as the monks sang Vespers, and we could see the candlelight flickering, just lighting up the beautiful colors of the stained glass windows, and it was just one of those moments of awe and wonder and joy in being alive and being in this particular place with this particular group of people at this moment in time. And I wonder, when you last felt awe and wonder and joy when you shared your life with others? And I'd love to give you a moment to think about that. When did you last feel awe and wonderful and joy sharing your life with others. As we saw in our first reading from Acts, Jesus' followers experienced awe and wonder and joy as they gathered together, and they lived a radically God-centered existence together in community, praying, learning, remembering the apostles' teaching, breaking bread together, and feeling deeply connected to others who shared their passion for Jesus and his way. For us, living in a time and a place where so many people feel disconnected and isolated, and it's hard to form and sustain relationships worthy of the name, this is a compelling, moving vision of the Christian life, or of life. I especially appreciate the financial generosity and mutual sharing of this group. Jesus' followers shared all things in common, and no one in this community went without the basic necessities of life. This was not communism or socialism, but financial generosity motivated by a deep gratitude for the God who had given them life and a hopeful future. Numerical growth and sacrificial giving grew out of the spiritual practices and priorities engaged in by these early followers of Jesus. About 8 years ago, some of you may know this very passage from Acts 2 inspired our vestry to start a fund called the Acts 2 Fund. And we realized that we were thankfully reaching out to the community, but we really didn't have anything in place other than the rector's discretionary fund to intentionally help members of our community very quietly, who perhaps were having trouble paying 1 month's rent or a car bill or an unexpected health bill. And over the last 8 years, so many people here have quietly, thanks to you and your financial generosity, gotten back on their feet. And the majority of them have then become contributors to the X2 Fund because they know what it means to face an overwhelming financial challenge and then have the quiet support of your faith community. Well, this beautiful vision for the Christian life and for life that is portrayed in Acts 2 didn't last too long. By the fifth chapter of Acts, human fears of scarcity and selfishness begin to chip away at the mutual trust and sharing. But the fact that this kind of life was hard to sustain should not make us cynical or unwilling to be challenged by the powerful, powerful vision of life in community, life centered in God in community, that is put forth in the second chapter of Acts. The abundant life that Jesus offers all of us can look different in different contexts. But in every case, it is a life in which we're living in deep relationship with God and others, saying prayers together, breaking bread together, and making sure that everyone has what they need. While in America, abundant life generally means wealth, possessions, and access to new experiences and privileges, in Acts, abundance comes from community members' relationships with God and one another, and with from the gratitude and joy from those relationships. Today, as you've probably guessed, is Good Shepherd Sunday. And our gospel from the 10th chapter of John, as well as the 23rd Psalm, which we just sang a moment ago, help build on the vision of Christian community that is portrayed in the second chapter of Acts. In the 23rd Psalm, God is the shepherd who provides, protects, and revives our souls. Even when we walk through the most difficult of times, God is with us. Further, God provides for us, spreading a table and filling our cup to overflowing, even in the presence of our enemies. In the final verse of the 23rd Psalm, the psalmist says, "Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." In Hebrew, the word "follow" can also be understood or translated as pursue or hound. Surely your goodness and mercy shall hound me all the days of my life. That is how much God wants us to participate in that love and mercy, that generous vision of life. Just as in our Acts reading, the 23rd Psalm puts daily activities like eating, drinking, dealing with enemies, and seeking security in a radically God-centered perspective. The 23rd Psalm tells us that God is the only necessity in life, because in the words of Walter Brueggemann, it is God's companionship that transforms every situation. It is God's companionship that transforms every situation. In the silence that follows, I'd love to ask you to ponder two questions. What are your deepest longings for God, for community, and for basic provision? And how might God use the Acts 2 reading as well as the 23rd Psalm to challenge all of us to live with God at the center of our lives? Amen.